Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a juicy Week 12 matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Chicago Bears. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Joining us now to get into the game with his weekly matchup segment is the great Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast. Good morning to you, Chris. How's it going, buddy?
Oh my gosh, he's not on.
Oh. Little heads up would have been good.
Didn't you just tell him to Chris?
I thought we were talking about Charlie Batch, and Chris is usually on the video, so he's not here now. I'm on the phone right now. Don't you worry.
Harry giving him a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Is it okay if I talk to him about the sweet potato pie?
Hey, you use your best judgment there, pal. 35 years old. Hey, you can do what you got to do.
I'm old enough to run for president now.
It is true.
Mm-hmm. Not that that would be a good idea. Could you imagine this country if I were president of the United States? I'd love to give a speech.
I actually could imagine it. That's the thing. I could imagine what it would be like.
Hello, Mr. Carter. Mr. Crowley is going to be very upset with me if you don't answer the phone. Please call me back, 412-928-9370. Thanks.
He's calling back right now. I can see his name popping up there.
Hey, Chris.
You can just put him through. You don't need to. Don't have the phone up to the microphone. There could be swearing, Harry. Harry,
okay,
what is he doing?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm on the air right now.
Mm-hmm. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Do we have Chris? Can I put Chris through?
You told me to put him
through. Yeah, buddy.
Hi, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How we doing tonight?
Chris, I tried sweet potato pie for the first time.
I'm sorry, what?
I tried sweet potato pie for the first time. A kind listener brought it in because they said I had never had it before, and it was delicious.
That might be wider than not knowing that was a Jackie Robinson shirt.
Well, I say I'm going to make it for my family this Thanksgiving now, Chris. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-mm.
That's cultural appropriations. You have to ask Doran's permission first.
Yeah, Doran gave me a big old no. He gave me a big old no, but I did enjoy it with my coffee this morning. All right, we'll get to the football now. Chris Carter, of course, from the Post-Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast. Chris, let's focus offensively with the assumption that Aaron Rodgers is going to play in this game. What is the number one key they got to do offensively?
Hit the open man. And it seems so frustrating to say that because that's what Aaron Rodgers' whole career had been. He came into this year with the best passer rating, the lowest interception rate in NFL history. And at the start of the year, and for most of the year, he had been doing that. Even when it was the quick pass and it was a little frustrating, like, man, I wish he'd take the shot downfield. He would get rid of the ball quick, get it to the guy in space, and let them work their way down the field. But in the Chargers game and the first half last week, outside of the first drive, he wasn't hitting those guys. And he knows it. He's talked about, you know, that's the key to this offense. But they have to do that. And I think that this is a Bears defense that they've been very opportunistic. You know, people talk about how the Steelers live off of turnovers. They literally live off turnovers. Their metrics outside of turnovers are worse than the Steelers before. The Steelers defense really took a turn for the better 3 weeks ago. So If I'm the Steelers, force this team to tackle in space, get the ball out fast, and then that'll force them to kind of make more mistakes out there. Then the run game should open up more. But hit the ball, hit the guy in open space, and kind of you get what you got last week, where you know Kenneth Gainwell, Jaylen Warren, DK Metcalf, they can make guys miss and build up, and then everything else starts to fill in from there.
Chris, are guys getting open downfield though? Do you see that on film, or guys getting, or are they just not creating any separation?
It's a mixed bag. The guys are not winning, in ways that are like, just, hey, we just need a one-on-one win all the time. But there are times where just schematically guys are open because, not everything can be covered all the time. There are times when guys are blanketed. Like make no mistake, like the Steelers are missing the presence of a true route runner. Like for all things that Deontay Johnson wasn't, he was one of the best route running wide receivers in football, for years. And so, they're missing a guy like that who can literally just route you up and say, hey, in 2.5 seconds, I'm going to be open. Just throw it to my inside shoulder. They don't have that guy. But there's times where Roman Wilson is open, and I think that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't anticipate it just yet because he's not dependent on Roman Wilson's timing. And I think that's the thing. That's another thing that plays into it as well. It's not enough just to win your route. It's enough to be able to win your route consistently enough that before you turn your shoulder to make that move, the quarterback knows he's going to do this and he's going to be on this hash mark, and all I got to do is put it right here. So sometimes it's also about comfortability and familiarity, and that's another thing that plays against the Steelers' passing offense right now.
If you were Mike Tomlin, would you play the compromised Aaron Rodgers, or would you go one more week with Mason Rudolph?
If Aaron Rodgers is able to go, and I mean, no one's 100% at this part of the season, everyone's at least got probably 95% at best. If Aaron Rodgers is not inhibited by the wrist, and you feel like he's seen the field again in practice, or he's addressing what he was doing, I'm putting in Aaron Rodgers. But if there's something that's holding him back, if he's wincing when he gets the ball in his hands, if it's slowing something down or something feels off, I say, hey, Aaron, you're the first ballot Hall of Famer. Let's get you some rest. Let's make sure that you're 100% because we got the MVP coming up next week. We can let Mason Rudolph handle this for a week. That's why we brought him back. So. I would just, it's kind of like what you said, it's functionality. If the functionality of Aaron Rodgers is not working or there's something issue there, just give it to your backup. But if all those things are crossed, put him in.
Chris, do you agree or disagree with Tomlin stating that if Darius Slay is healthy, he'll be the starter at the corner spot, or should James Pierre get that spot?
I mean, I would disagree. He wasn't too appreciative of my question.
He really wasn't. He's like, what's your question?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
What's your question?
I was like, how do you decide between taking a guy who's been hot off the field for, a guy with pedigree? And I was like, I'm pretty sure I asked that question. But I get it, because this, I know, Tomlinisms aren't just, the funny phrases. It's also the things that he tries to not tell you. And so when you poke into those, that's when he gets a little flustered, mm-hmm. too. But I there's a part of me that feels like there might be some game theory into that statement because, I look at this and I'm like, maybe Darius Slay goes back in, but I'm sorry, I can't take James Pierre off the field right now. And so, like when we talked about, I asked Olsen the question about James Pierre, and he's tied with Joey Porter Jr. for the most passes broken up on the team. And by the way, both of those guys are top 10 in the league in pass breakups right now, and James Pierre is playing significantly less snaps. And he was like, you get more breakups when more guys target you. I'm like, yeah, but Darius Slay gets targeted and don't got them breakups. And so
exactly.
I think there's a part of me that feels like, Mike Tomlin's saving face right now, but is going to do something completely different in the game. And there's times where he's done that where, he said one thing and I'm like, oh, he noted this. Oh, you know what? He went that way. And the same thing goes with a lot of head coaches. Bill Belichick would do that a lot. Heck, Pat Narduzzi's done that to me a lot. There's times where Pat Narduzzi's been like, hey, we're doing this. Or Kenny Pickett's not playing this week, and Kenny Pickett was, totally fine. So there's gamesmanship that's always there, but if he goes back out there, the only saving grace would be the Steelers are deploying two high safety shells a lot more often. There's a lot more safety support. You're not asking cornerbacks to be in single coverage on islands as much. And that's the thing that Darius Slay couldn't do as much. But if he knows that he has a safety behind him, that could be the one scenario where about 80% of the time you say, hey, Darius, just play a little more aggressive up front, be very technical. That'd be the one thing that would make sense. But other than that, I'm like, man, I can't take James Pierre off the field, man. That guy's balling.
Chris Carter of the Post Gazette and the Locked On Steelers podcast joining us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. A much improved offensive line for the Chicago Bears. You got Darnell Wright on the right side. They added pieces in free agency. They're playing like it. They've run the ball really effectively. What have you seen from that unit? What have you seen out of the development of Caleb Williams? And what do the Steelers have to prepare for?
Well, kudos to Ben Johnson. He's really helped with Caleb Williams' development and seeing the field. But one thing I think that is really interesting about this team is they are opportunistic as well. They have the number two run offense and the number two explosive run offense in the NFL. And what they do is that when you give them a crease, they hit it and they hit it fast and hard. And that's what the Steelers have to be really gap sound about. Like this is, I also think, and you know, I was looking at this, just like from last year, the biggest thing that I thought that hurt them last year down the stretch was playing teams that could run the ball and had athletic quarterbacks that could also run the ball. You think back to, I think the four of the top five times that they gave up the most rushing yards last year was either twice was the Ravens, one was Daniel Jones and Tyrone Tracy with the Giants back when they were there, and then there was, the Eagles with Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts. And they did not do well when teams ran options, when they challenged you to be accountable for both gaps. And I asked Terrell Austin about that, like, what's better about that this year when we were talking to him yesterday. And he noted, we're better in the interior, which is what they invested in. They went and got Derek Harmon. They went and got Y.A. Black. They're getting much better play from Keanu Benton. And if they can get that presence in the middle, that can be the stuff that makes everything easier for Patrick Queen, for Peyton Wilson, and also for Watt, Highsmith, and Herbig. And if they get all that, then it becomes a better game of bottling things up, and you can limit what they do with Swift and Williams and force Williams to have to win downfield more often. He can be he can hold on to the ball sometimes when he really shouldn't, and that's, I think, what the situation you want to get him into. But I also think it's a great ramp-up because next week you got Josh Allen and James Cook. And I know they lost last night, but that team's got a long, 10 days before the Steelers game, and they're going to be mad as all get out and desperate for a win. So they got to be ready for that. And then the week after that, you get Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, who are the reason why you went and got the guys that you got this offseason in the first place.
Chris, very good. Who do you think wins the game?
I got the Steelers winning 27-21.
Chris, you're a gentleman and a scholar, and we appreciate your time. We'll talk to you not next Friday, because we will not be here.
Correct.
So have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving, and let me know how that sweet potato pie comes out.
I'm not going to make it. I clearly can't make it. I'm going to have to make a pumpkin pie, and everyone's going to pretend that it's good, and it won't be.
Right.
And especially it won't be good to me.
You can buy a sweet potato pie.
Oh, that I'm allowed to do? I can't make it from scratch?
Please don't make it.
Okay. Yeah.
See you, Chris.
See you, Chris.
Thank you.
See you guys.
I don't really understand the difference. I mean, if I can buy one, why can't I just make one?
If you buy one, it'll be better than you making one.
Why?
It just will.
I can't.
You're the guy that marinated steak in mayo and ketchup.
Correct.
Mix. I mean, I think you can mess up a sweet potato pie pretty easily.
Yes.
Point Harry. He got me there.
Yep.
Coming up next, we focused so much on the quarterback play for this upcoming game that I think we're missing another big storyline. We will get to that coming up next. And then to talk quarterbacks, we got Charlie Batch at the bottom of the hour.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I think both those guys are really good on third down. And, you know, a lot of the two-minute drives, especially when you're in obvious pass situations and hurry up, sometimes it's how the start of the drive went and what the plan was backed up. And then when you get on the ball, sometimes the guy's in a rhythm, he ends up staying out there. But those guys are pretty interchangeable, which is rare to have when you have two guys, a little bit different skill set, but they're both really good third down backs in their own way, which also can bleed into two-minute. It was as simple as sometimes it's when that drive started, we were backed up and then kind of got rolling.
The Bears' rush defense sucks. They're 14th in the NFL in attempts that they've faced. So they haven't faced a ton of attempts, yet they've given up the 25th most yards. And they are 29th in yards per attempt. So whether it's Rodgers, who's somewhat compromised, or Mason Rudolph, who is a spring chicken and healthy, I think they should be running the ball. I mean, they haven't been an explosive offense. You can hit the Bears over the top. I don't think they're able to do that, though, unless they run the ball. Ipso facto, run the ball. Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, but how's Jaylen Warren going to be? Like, I mean, he did get rolled up a little bit and hurt his ankle, I believe.
Yep.
Are you going to run the ball with Kenneth Gainwell, or are you going to use him in the passing game a little bit like you did last week?
Like, yes. Now, Jaylen Warren did not practice Wednesday. He was limited yesterday. I imagine he'll play.
He'll play, but like, is he going to be full Jaylen Warren?
He's not, and so I think it becomes a Gainwell game. And what have we seen out of one Kenneth Gainwell? When it's time for him to come out of the phone booth and rip off his uniform and be Superman, by doggone it, he does it. He does it. He did it against the Vikings in Ireland. It was the best game that he's played as a Steeler. Then last week, first drive, beep, boop, boop, touchdown. And then he had a couple of key catches, including a touchdown in the second half with Rudolph, that big-time conversion catch and run with the one hand. So I believe in Gainwell. I am a Gainwell convert, Doran.
I do too, but I don't believe in him toting the rock, you know, north of 15 times in a game.
Why do you hate Gainwell?
I got you liking Gainwell.
I know.
And what did I say when they signed Gainwell? I was like, this is a great signing. For one point whatever million dollars, a guy that just won a Super Bowl and is a great third down back, if he, you know, wasn't behind Saquon Barkley, he'd probably be one of the feature backs for the Eagles. I love Gainwell. I just don't know if he's going to be, if he should be a every down back. And if he is an every down back, is the thought process to run the football with him?
So for using the Minnesota game as a guide, because I think your points are all well taken, 19 carries, 99 yards. He had 6 catches for 35 yards. What a game by Gainwell.
That's a great game.
That's a great game.
But do you want him to do that again? Or can he do that again, I should ask?
Good question. I don't know. I think so. He had never really touched the ball that much in his entire career. That was one of the things we talked about with the Steelers running back room just coming into the year. Can Jaylen Warren be the guy that carries the load? He's never done it. And we've seen him now injured a couple of times. Can you count on Caleb Johnson? They haven't. And then Kenneth Gainwell's always been a third down back. But that game showed me that he's capable of doing it for a spurt, right? Now, Warren's going to play. So you wouldn't think that Gainwell's going to need 19 carries or 25 total touches. But I wouldn't mind my running backs touching the ball 30 times. And if 20 of them come from Gainwell, whether it's carrying it or catching it, I think I can live with that for this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully Warren can be back and ready for next game at closer to 100% because you're not wearing them down. I think if you throw the ball a lot in this game, you are inviting what the Bears are best at.
Turnovers.
And they are super susceptible to the run. And I think you kind of want to shorten the game and play some defense and try to play, again, hockey, what you'd call a true road game, right? You dump it, you make all the smart plays. I think that's the recipe here. And I think that's how Rodgers can hit some big plays over the top. You're not going to be in under center a lot, but maybe a little bit, hit some play action, but they're not going to bite on any of that if you're not running the ball. So I'd come out running, baby. Help my injured quarterback or help my mustached backup quarterback. Do you like the mustache?
I think it works for certain people, and he's one of them.
I'm so with you.
Like, my dad has had a mustache my whole entire life. Like, I've only seen him without a mustache like 3 times in 37 years.
He probably looked weird as hell without the mustache. So weird. Right? My father-in-law's always had a mustache, and he shaved for our wedding, and he was a different man.
Yeah.
A different man. I tried the stash with Skeens. It didn't look good. Skeens looks better without the stash. Can we say that now?
Yeah, he looks better with the beard.
He looks way better with the beard.
Wonsett had a rule that we would have to shave before training camp.
Yeah.
But we could all keep mustaches.
Did anybody follow suit?
Yes. So in his mind, he was like, you can look like me or you have to have a shaven face.
I feel like Bostic would look real weird with a stash.
Yes, he would.
You just picture Bostic with a stash. We love you, Pat. I can't do a stash. I tried it. It looked terrible. There's not much that can work well on me. Harry could pull off a stash.
Friermuth had the stash, and I was ragging on him about it.
The Pens are all wearing stashes, and they look good.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hockey players, they can do whatever they want with facial hair, and it looks fine.
It looks like it is supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
Don't you agree, though, that Harry would be a guy that would pull off a stash real well?
Yes.
He's got a good stash there with the beard.
I tried to a year and a half ago when we did the Skeens mustache shaving thing before the 5-alarm marathon. I didn't particularly like it. It felt weird.
I do think that people who sport a mustache regularly, it almost becomes their personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a mustache guy.
If the Steelers lose to the Bills, I'll just rock a mustache.
No, you will not.
I feel like they're going to beat the Bills.
Didn't
regardless.
We do that before? Didn't we say that we were all going to come in with skein stashes, and then I walked in and I was the only one with a skein stash?
No, like I just said, I did it too.
Oh,
I think I did it too, didn't I?
You did not.
I
he did not.
No, he didn't.
No.
I'll rock a mustache. I'll shave my beard down.
If the Steelers win the next 3, Bears, Bills, Ravens, I say we all come in here rocking stashes.
All right, okay, fine.
Let's get that mojo going. Or if Mason comes in and leads them to victory on Sunday, we rock Mason mustaches.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's the rare guy where the mustache isn't his personality.
What's his personality?
Friendly guy.
Yeah.
Friendly guy, funny guy. Rodgers was singing his praises, saying he's hilarious the other day. I like Mason. I've had nice chats with Mason in the past.
Is he funny?
He wasn't funny to me. He wasn't trying to be, but he was very friendly, talking about Morgantown and how they were throwing beers at him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, if Mason isn't the most popular Steelers backup quarterback of all time, then our next guest is. That's Charlie Batch, baby. We talk to Chazzy when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Been in these a few times, and that's why you always have to have contingency plans, and we'll see how the week unfolds. And that way, it's my job to be ready either way. You know, we got in a similar situation last year, inverse with Russ and Justin in week one, and that's our job to adapt just like you do. And that's what I give Mason a lot of credit. You know, people talk about being a pro and job, but that's a sign of a real pro, because Mason does a good job preparing every week. You're always one play away. You always hear these hypotheticals. He was ready to roll.
Before Mason Rudolph was one play away, it was always Charlie Batch who was a play away. Super Bowl champion, best of the Batch Foundation, all-around good guy. He joins us now. Charlie, good morning to you, buddy. How's it going today?
It's going well. How you doing, fellas?
We are doing outstanding. Yep. Steelers, Bears on Sunday, a big swing game for the Steelers, and we feel like Rodgers is probably going to play, but it's not for certain. And so we wanted you to come on to kind of detail what Mason Rudolph's going through this week. Mason obviously played well in the second half against Cincinnati, and he's getting all the snaps, but he also doesn't know if he's going to play. And that can't be an easy thing. I think it takes a special kind of cat, Charlie, to be able to mentally prepare yourself to play and then maybe deal with the disappointment if you don't.
Absolutely, and that's the life of a backup, and nobody cares how many practice reps you received. You better go out there and deliver. And yeah, I've obviously experienced that so well over the years, and there's been times that, you know when you know you're playing, that's one thing. But ultimately, when you have questions like we have this week on whether your starter is going to play, you know, there were times that I practiced all week, thought I was going to get the call, and all of a sudden Ben woke up on Saturday morning and said, I feel fresh and I'm starting. And I'm like, what the heck? All my family's getting ready for the game. And I had to call them and let them know, hey, I'm not getting to start this week. But then, you know, but again, that's just how life is. And you just have to be ready to go.
Charlie, are the receivers getting open for, and receivers and skilled players, are they getting open for Rodgers? Is that what you're seeing? Or is it something else?
It's a combination of a couple different things. You have, when receivers are open, there's pressure throwing the timing off. And then all of a sudden, when there is time, you're not necessarily getting open on certain routes. So it's just, again, it just, you know, and I felt like over the past couple of weeks, I really thought Aaron Rodgers were probably trying to do a little bit too much to get the ball to DK Metcalf. And when he's honing in and locking in on DK, then you see somebody else getting open. So again, these are just things that, you know, you hope that it doesn't happen this late in the season, but we're starting to see that, but they are fixable.
Are you worried about Rodgers at 41, not having played his best football, we'll put it that way, over the last six quarters?
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. I mean, he understands everything that's going on, and he has that experience. So when you have situations like this on whether or not he practiced all week, can he get ready for the game? Yeah, absolutely. But again, he's the first one to admit that, hey, I need to play a little bit better. But what I'm seeing on the film is not raising a red flag or, you know, any alarms at this particular point, thinking that, okay, maybe we're struggling at the quarterback position. That is not the case.
Charlie, do you expect to see more Darnell Washington in the passing game, or is he best utilized as helping the protection, helping the offensive line? Do you think that he's going to get some more play with routes this week?
This is the way that it's trending at this particular point. And coming into the season, we all knew that he was the best blocking tight end on this roster, but nobody thought that he would elevate over Pat Freiermuth as early as he did as tight end number one. And because of that, you're starting to see him more implemented into the passing game. Aaron Rodgers loves him, and he loves the target. I mean, this guy is a large human being, and obviously we saw the highlights on what he did last week. Can he continue to create separation? We'll continue to watch that unfold. But either way, they like the direction of where he is in his young career.
He said he's 311 pounds, Charlie. That is insane, man.
He did, and it was almost like, you know, the worst kept secret, right? You know, if you're around him and you're looking at him, you're like, yeah, you know, you're 265 or 280. No, that's not necessarily the case, you know. But again, once he revealed it, then, you know, obviously we see what the true numbers are. But for him to be able to move at that particular size, it's not a problem. But if you look at him, it's not a sloppy 311 pounds. This guy's solid.
Oh, yeah. He's solid.
Charlie, I never played at Soldier Field. I never played in Chicago. You, I believe, obviously have played there. Is that a tough place to play? Is that a tough environment, that atmosphere?
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, obviously they have the history and the tradition up there, and Bears fans are very passionate, just like Steelers fans are. And it's a tough environment to play, especially if you get from behind and you're getting into a two-minute drill and trying to understand just the mechanics of it. And I know Brian Urlacher, he was so good at understanding, because Chicago is a little bit different because the play clock's they're not high in that second level where you're able to see it. The play clock is actually on the field level. And Brian Urlacher would be he would be so slick, and you're trying to now figure out, you get close to the play clock going down, and he would stand right in front of the sign, and you couldn't see it. And I'm just like, what the heck is going on? But over the years, you're like, oh, that's that home field advantage, because he knows where that play clock is at, and if he can now make sure to create a, you know, just a slight bit of separation or hesitation by the quarterback, maybe his defense can take advantage of it.
Charlie Batch, our guest here on the Fan Morning Show. Charlie, it's obviously the injured left wrist for Aaron Rodgers. How do you think that affects him on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it alters the game plan, because right now we don't know if he can take a snap. And if he can't take a snap, which obviously we'll find that out as we move today, as all questions that we all have throughout the course of the week will be answered today. But again, my biggest thing is, okay, number one, can he take a snap from underneath center? And if he can he now hand the ball off as he is now attempting to go to his right, but ultimately you have to extend with your left hand to be able to make that handoff off to the running back? Those are things that you're going to ultimately see. And if he can't do that, then expect a heavy dose of him in the shotgun, maybe a pistol formation. So right now, Arthur Smith is going to have to create two separate game plans, one for Mason Rudolph, and the second is for Aaron Rodgers when these questions are happening today.
Charlie, do you think Caleb Williams is or can be a top-tier, really good quarterback in the NFL?
No, I really do think the upside is there, and he's proving that as the plays that he is making. But again, when you're in your young career, you have multiple offensive coordinators like he's had in his young career. You know, you haven't seen the stability there. But now you have Ben Johnson up there. You know he's an offensive-minded guy from his time in Detroit. So he's now, you know, trying to benefit and figure out what the strengths and weaknesses are of Caleb. I think at this particular point of the season, we're seeing all the intangibles of what everybody expected when the Bears made them the number one pick.
Charlie, obviously you and Ben had a good relationship, and it sounds like, according to Rodgers and Rudolph, those two seemingly have a good relationship. Do you have a relationship with Mason Rudolph? Because I feel like you'd be the perfect guy for him to pick your brain. Good English by me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm down the facility a lot. I've started training camp, so I build relationship with those guys. And of course, I've known Ray Mason since he came into this league. So it's just good to really chop it up a little bit. But also, people have to understand the quarterback room has to be the tightest group in there, because there cannot be any leakage. And I say that because there's a lot of conversations that goes on in the room, strategy wise, how you're going to now attack a defense, and you never want, you know, they feel like, okay, the starting quarterback is looking over their shoulder, because if they make a mistake, there's another guy that wants to play. Yeah, deep down you want to do that, but when you know what your role is, you have to be a team player. And that was something that I had to build a relationship with Ben Roethlisberger during his rookie year, and that led all the way up to the point that we are now, like 24 years later, or 21 years later with me and Ben, that we are still close to this day, but the trust is built in that meeting room. That's what you're seeing right now between Mason Rudolph and Aaron Rodgers, and ultimately you can see that, you know, just them talking about it throughout the course of this week. It was beautiful to hear, but it's not something that's unexpected for me.
Charlie, would you say that your favorite moment coming in and playing was against the Ravens December 3rd, 2012?
Yeah, that was a Steelers game, yes. But my ultimate game was my rookie year in 1998 when I was with the Lions and played the Steelers on Thanksgiving. So that was probably the biggest game for me, moment-wise. But I think as I finished my career, everybody remembers that Baltimore game and, you know, obviously the embrace between me and Ben Roethlisberger during that time. But again, when you're playing a division foe and you're going on the road and having to win a game, man, and especially when you know it potentially could be your last game, that was something that was special. And that's one game that a lot of people remember, even though it's been 15 years ago.
I remember, I was 10, 11 years old, and I remember Charlie Batch playing the Pittsburgh Steelers with the Detroit Lions, and I remember my whole fan being like, he's from Pittsburgh, and I remember thinking that was the coolest thing in the world.
Well, and Charlie, you were tampering with the coin there, too, for overtime.
Yeah, that was it. And actually, that was part of history, and people didn't realize that. But when you're watching that game in 1998, that was part of history because that was the last time that you actually were able to call it a coin flip in the air. when that happened, immediately after that, that following week, that's when you actually had to say whether it was heads or tails before the coin went in the air. And even though it's been almost 27 years ago, I'm still waiting on Jerome Bettis to tell me whether or not he said heads or tails. He's sticking with his story. He's stuck with it all these years later. At some point, I really want to know what he truly said, because closed caption says something else. Jerome says something else too. So we just need to get to the bottom of that.
That's right, Charlie. Whatever you want to hear, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Which is so weird. Like in 2025, I mean, we just saw Ja'Marr Chase's spit and you could count the molecules, but back then it was a little bit more muddled. I'd be remiss if we didn't, before we let you go, talk about the Best of the Batch Foundation. I mean, this is all year round is your time of the year, Charlie, but especially now as we get closer to Christmas.
Yeah, it really is. And again, we, you know, Best of the Batch Foundation, we've celebrated 26 years now, and it's truly exciting because we service over 4,000 kids annually in 9 different counties throughout southwestern PA. But throughout the course of the year, it takes so many volunteers to help move our programs and help them push them forward, as we have 13 different programs that we run throughout the calendar year. So we just had our fundraiser that we had last week, our In the Pocket event that helped raise funds for our STEAM programs and our out-of-school time. And now as we shift into the holidays, it's a busy season for us because even starting today, we adopted 200 families. So we'll do a turkey drive here today with all the fixings. And then as we head into the holiday time with Christmas, we actually adopt 400 families, which is over 1,800 kids. And from there, we collect toys, unwrap, we need help wrapping them, and then ultimately we deliver the week of Christmas. So it's just truly special with that particular program. It takes over 1,400 volunteers to help make that happen. So I want to say thank you to everybody who believes in what we are doing. And if you want to be a part of a toy collection, you can go to our website, which is batchfoundation.org. You'll see all the information that we have around the city. We have drop-off locations around the city. But yet, if you cannot make that, there's a QR code that's there. Also, there are click-and-ship options that we have on our website that actually will ship directly to our foundation offices. So, again, we are just trying to create and put smiles on kids' faces throughout the holiday season. But we thank everybody who believes in what we're doing, because we cannot do this by ourselves. So, again, that's batchfoundation.org.
You're the man on and off the field, Charlie. Yep. Awesome stuff, man. We appreciate you coming on and for what you do for the community. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thanks, Charlie. Man.
Charlie Batch, batchfoundation.org. Oh, that Thanksgiving game in 1998.
I remember that clear as day.
Me too, dude.
Clear as day.
Me too.
Jerome wearing they had the whites on, right? The white jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I said tails. Or was it heads? Which one was it?
It was one of the two.
The ref said he said heads, but he claims he
I said tails. I said tails. I said tails. I think he had a hat on, too. I think Jerome did.
He did. Yeah. That was one of the all-time, like, what the F moments in Steelers history. People were and continue to be pissed, and I love that Charlie was on the opposite side of it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.